Welcome to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. Spend this hour with us learning how you can protect the people you love from the financial, physical, and emotional consequences of an extended healthcare situation. Because of new state and federal laws, there are new and exciting long-term care planning options available. As a certified long-term care planning specialist, Brian Ott will help you make sense of your options. Now, here's your host of Long-Term Care Radio, Brian Ott.
So, do you ever wonder whose money is your money and what is going to happen to it? I will just tell you right now, most people don't. Most people put little thought or zero thought into this question. And I say this because I just came across a very interesting article that was why do 70% of families lose their wealth in the second generation? That was the title of it. Why do 70% of families lose wealth in the second generation? Now, I knew this was a problem, but I didn't know the severity of it. And as I started reading through this article, statistically, it gets even worse. According to the article, that they estimate that 70% of the wealthy families lose their wealth in the second generation, and 90% will lose it by the third generation. I mean, that's just astounding. And this article goes on to list a variety of reasons why this happens. Number one, people are not taught to talk about money. And this is very common for the older generation. They don't like to talk about their personal finances. They don't, especially with their kids. They don't like to share that information. Second and third generations become entitled and they have different work ethic. This was something the article points out, and I think a lot of people believe that. And then lastly, many have no clue about the value of money or how to handle it. And you know, this is very, very common for somebody that went through the Depression or you know, very hard financial time starting out. They view things differently than somebody that came up and, you know, they grew up in a life of abundance. There was always food on the table. They didn't have to worry about that. So I think this is very common that that younger generation may just not understand or have the same, put the same value on money that the older generation did. Now, one of the big issues that I've seen personally, and I know this from working with estate attorneys over the past, you know, couple decades, is that many people don't have the discussion with their children. They find it difficult. They fail to discuss their wealth. They fail to discuss what they want to happen when they were gone. And that ends up causing all kinds of problems. Number one, unnecessary taxes. People spend a lot more in taxes when there's no estate planning done properly. Costly estate fees. And it causes a lot of family strife. And this is, again, case study, case study, case study. All of these run the risk of eroding the value of the estate. Now, the families that do maintain their multi-generational wealth do so by following some very basic rules. Number one, they have open lines of communication. Number two, they share decision-making. Number three, they often use impartial trustees to manage their estate. So they'll be doing some estate planning and they'll use a trustee that's impartial to oversee their estate. And lastly, making a plan for future generations. Step four, this, you know, this is a big one. In fact, a lot of this just sounds like Captain Obvious advice, right? It's like, okay, open lines of communication, sharing decision making, maybe use a trustee and making a plan for future generations. But I will tell you, the vast majority of people do not do proper planning, which is why 70% of wealth is gone by the first generation. And according to this article, nearly 90% of wealth is gone by the second generation. It's really amazing when you think about it in those terms. And I remember it was one year when I was in the office and I was doing some continuing education for my RICP designation, which stands for Retirement Income Certified Professional. So we're studying income during your retirement years. And we were going through case studies on how different retirement accounts can be used to build generational wealth. Now, this was prior to the recent changes with the Secure Act, which meant back in the day, people who inherited IRAs from their parents could spread out the distributions over their lifetime. And that is now changed where we have to take that money out over 10 years. And so that's a huge change. But anyway, at the time I was taking this course, we were going through these case studies and it was just showing how if children would spread out the distributions over their life, so they inherit an IRA from their parents, They could spread out the distributions over their life, and oftentimes it would be able to leave as much or even more money to the next generation. And, you know, basically what was happening is oftentimes the accounts could earn as much or more than what was actually being taken out if you spread those distributions out and took out just a minimum amount over your lifetime. And this was a very powerful tool for multi-generational wealth income, and that's what we were studying. It's like, you know, you have a million-dollar IRA, you leave it to your kids who's in the 50s, and they can spread it out over their lifetime, and then when they pass away, they can leave it to their children, which is going to be still a big sizable account. But sadly, the vast majority of IRAs were not spread out over the children's lifetime, but instead cashed out over short periods of time, which prevented those assets from growing in value. And more importantly, it eroded much of the value in taxes. Now, remember, inherited retirement accounts are taxed as income when you take that money out. It's not capital gains tax. It's actually taxed at an income rate. And if you take a huge distribution, it's going to push your income up. So you might jump from the 24% tax bracket up to the 32. So, you know, Junior inherits $200,000 and would cash it out, and he might pay 40, 50, even 60% of that money right up front in taxes, depending on, you know, what state he lived in. And then he goes out and he takes that, you know, he nets out $80,000 or $100,000 out of that $200,000 IRA, goes out and buys a new boat, and goes out and buys a new pickup, maybe takes a vacation, basically whittles that money down, and he buys depreciating assets, which just aren't really worth anything to the next generation. So this was very eye-opening when we were studying this going through all the course material and looking at some of these case studies. When we look at IRAs that were under $1 million and were spread out between siblings, this was very common. Disproportionately higher for IRAs that were less than $100,000. In fact, the people that inherited IRAs of less than $100,000, the vast majority of those just got cashed out right away. And they just simply cashed them out and they paid all the taxes on them. And they, you know, they went out and bought themselves a new car. They went, took the kids to Disneyland. I don't know. But it was just eye-opening how little of that money was actually spread out over their lifetime. Now, today, you know, the SECURE Act has really changed that. And so what's happened now is if you inherit an IRA today, you actually have to pull that money out within 10 years and you have to pay all the taxes on it. Now, remember, basically what has happened is they've pushed up the required minimum distribution. That age used to be 70 and a half. So when you turn 70 and a half, the year that you turned 70 and a half, you used to have to start taking out what they called required minimum distributions out of your retirement accounts. Now they've pushed that age up to 73. It's going up to age 75 here in the next decade. So what that simply means, it wasn't a gift to us. You know, oh, you get to defer your money can grow tax-free longer. Everybody thinks, yay, I win. But no, that's not why they did that. The reason why they did that is, yes, we'll be able to grow our retirement accounts to larger amounts, but when we pass away, we're going to hopefully leave larger accounts to the next generation. And now the IRS is going to come in and say, you've got to pull all that money out within 10 years. You cannot spread it out over your lifetime. And so when you look at all the baby boomers on board and all this money, these, you know, billions and billions of dollars in retirement accounts that are going to be passed on to the next generation, well, a lot of those people that inherit those IRAs are going to be in their highest tax levels, right? They're going to be in their peak of their career. And so now the IRS is looking at it and saying, well, now we have a good chance of getting 32 or 34% of those IRA funds, that inherited IRA, versus maybe only 22 or 24% during the lifetime of the person that actually saved up that money. So it's a very big change out there, and it's something that we all need to be aware of. And so the point today that we're going to talk on, I want to squeeze in a little break, but when I return, I want to continue the discussion and talk a little bit about what happens to your money when you enter into an extended care situation. There's a lot of things I want you to think about, so we're going to go over all that. I'll be right back.
Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, providing valuable insight to protect you in the event of an extended healthcare situation. Learn more by attending one of Brian's free live webinar classes this month. Sign up now at 525longtermcare.com. 525longtermcare.com.
Finding a secure investment in this financially volatile time seems tough, but crazy financial times also create smart opportunities. One of these smart opportunities is long-term care insurance from 525 Advisors. If you repositioned some of your savings and got three times your investment in long-term care coverage tax-free and got all your money back if you never used it, wouldn't you at least want to learn more about it? Well, you can. Join my friends from 525 Advisors for their next free long-term care planning live webinar. Go to 525longtermcare.com and sign up. You'll learn about smart ways to self-insure, including new plans with guaranteed leverage that turn every dollar into $3 of long-term care coverage tax-free with every dollar back if you never use it. Don't wait until you're older to get long-term care coverage. Look into this opportunity now from 525 Advisors, one that gives you a secure return. Go to 525longtermcare.com and sign up for the next free live webinar. That's 525longtermcare.com.
The fact is, most of us have known somebody who needed long-term care. That's when a person reaches a stage in life requiring somebody else to help with basic daily activities due to physical conditions or a cognitive disease. Now, most of the time, long-term care starts in the home, which allows the individual to stay in a familiar setting. The price for long-term care can be expensive, and it could go on for years. Financial experts suggest purchasing long-term care insurance before you retire. Why? Because 7 out of 10 65-year-olds will need some sort of long-term care in the future. If you've never looked at long-term care insurance because you didn't know where to start, now you know where to start with 525 Advisors. 525 Advisors, local experts specializing in long-term care insurance, and they have plans that are guaranteed to pay you back if you never make use of them. Protect yourself and your family members from the financial cost of extended health care. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
Sign up for the next free long-term care live webinar with Brian Ott. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
Are you confused about the best way to protect your family and savings? Get answers now by listening to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, certified long-term care planning specialist with 525 Advisors.
All right, and we're back. And thanks again for tuning in to the Long-Term Care Radio podcast. If you're tuning in live on the radio, it's on the weekend. We're usually on the air on Saturday in most stations. We do have a slot on one radio station on Sunday. And then, of course, our podcast is always available. You can get that at our website at 525longtermcare.com. And believe it or not, this is airing August 5th. We are already into August, so this summer is just blowing right by. Now, we do have two classes coming up this month in August, and so that's going to be Saturday the 12th. That's going to be our first one, and that is a morning class. So that's going to kick off at 8 a.m. West Coast time, 9 a.m. Mountain time, and you can just work backwards, 11 a.m. if you're on the East Coast. And then the following 2 weeks out, we're going to skip. I'm actually going to be taking my daughter to college, believe it or not, on the 15th. So we're going to come back the following Thursday on the 24th, and that's a midweek class. So that's an afternoon class, and all that information is available at our website at 525longtermcare.com. And again, when you sign up for a class, you're going to get an email link. That's it. All you do is you click on that link and you open it up in your browser. You do not have to download any software. You know, it's not like Zoom or any of these other ones where you have to constantly get software and update it and do all those things. Nothing is put onto your computer. You can just watch it in your browser. You can see us live and you can actually still send in your questions. So again, August 12th and the 24th. So today in the first segment, we're just discussing how 70% of wealth is lost in the first generation, and it's estimated that 90% is lost in the second generation. Now, a lot of this is due to improper planning, or more likely, no planning at all. Now, what about your wealth while you are still alive? Or let me ask it another way. Whose money is your money? Well, the overwhelming majority of us would probably say, well, my money is my money. I earned it. It's mine. You know, right? That makes sense. But what happens if you're in an extended care situation? What happens if you are incapacitated or you are cognitively impaired and you are no longer able to manage your finances anymore? Is it still your money? Well, technically, yes, but emotionally, probably not. And here's what I'm talking about. I get at least one call a month from someone who has a parent that is entering into an extended care situation. So they're going into a long-term care situation. Most of the time, it's the last surviving parent. So dad's already passed away and it's mom, or vice versa. And the phone call usually goes something like this. You know, we're moving my mom into an assisted living facility and want to know options for paying for her care. And I always ask, does she have long-term care insurance? They say no. Does she have assets? They say yes. Then I say, well, then you're going to have to pay for her care out of your assets until they're gone, and then you can apply for Medicaid, because Medicaid is a safety net program. And then the person on the phone will usually say something like, well, can we transfer those assets into our name to help her get the care paid for? And I say, no. And again, when you think about this, in fact, I just got a call like this last week, you know, asking about transferring mom's assets into their name and hoping that they could then get her on the Medicaid rolls. And when I was talking to these people, I said, well, let me go through this for a second. She doesn't have long-term care insurance. You're putting her in a care situation. Let's say you need $10,000 a month between her Social Security and you know, whatever income she has and her assets. How long is she going to last in that $10,000? And their answer back was, well, till she dies. So obviously she had a lot of money. Now, the reason why I'm asking these questions to people is saying, hey, keep this in mind. If you're moving into a facility and you might end up on Medicaid, you want to find out if that facility will accept Medicaid reimbursements if you guys self-fund for a year or two. Well, these people just said, well, mom's not going to run out of money. Mom had a big estate. So why do you think they were looking for a way to get the state to pay for her care? Well, this is why right here. Because at this point in time, mom's money becomes their money. Every single dollar they spend on care for mom is one less dollar that is coming back to them when mom passes away. And I'm being blunt and I'm being honest right now. This is more common than anybody wants to think about. Nobody thinks their kids are going to treat them that way. And the sad truth is, money changes family dynamics. It changes people. It changes attitude. Years ago, I had a listener call me, and she was just, you know, she was the youngest of three, and the two oldest siblings had moved their mom into a low-cost assisted living / basically halfway house. And it was on the other side of town and kind of the poor side of town, and this, you know, this listener, she was just so upset. She's like, look, she's a good 10 years younger than her older siblings, and her older siblings had the power of attorney and stuff. So the caller was, you know, she was just appalled. She said, my mom doesn't belong there. My mom's got a beautiful house. My mom's got millions of dollars in liquid assets. We could bring people into her home. We could put her in the nicest facility in town. My siblings aren't doing this. And that's what she was fighting with. And she said, do I have any legal recourse to do this? And remember, from, you know, the part of the family strife being one of the consequences of not planning, this is exactly what's going on here. Now, all of a sudden, you got siblings fighting because two of them think, well, mom is cognitively impaired. She doesn't realize where she is. It doesn't matter. So we're going to spend $4,000 a month instead of $15,000 a month on this nice facility because we're going to preserve the assets. So my point is, you think that, you know, you have plenty of money to pay for a long-term care situation, but unless you are able to manage your finances and manage your affairs your entire life, there's a good chance your money is not going to be used the way you want it to be used. And if you look up financial elder abuse, I mean, it's very common in this country. The elderly are vulnerable and often targeted for financial exploitation. Sadly, family members are the most likely people to financially exploit an elder person. Okay, and really what happens is you got decreasing mobility, cognitive lapse, you've got the problems with modern technology now. I mean, look at how we bank now. So much banking is online, and you're not writing checks anymore, and you're not doing the paper, and everything is, you know, you've got to be on the internet. So people, the elderly people, are ripe for financial exploitation, and overwhelmingly the majority of financial abuse comes from family members. And this is why planning is so important, and it's one of the greatest advantages having a long-term care insurance plan in place as you age. Long-term care insurance provides you a dedicated source of money to pay for that care. So that care, that's the whole idea of it, right? We're trading pennies today for dollars in the future, but those dollars are earmarked to take care of us when we need care. And the sole purpose of that money is just that. It's not to go out and buy cars or pay family vacations. It's to provide care. It provides you with a tax-free stream of income to pay for that care. It also provides you with a team of professionals to help you set up your care and manage your care. So again, think about my caller. She's got two siblings that are putting mom in the cheapest place they can find in town versus, hey, let's meet with a team of professionals and let's find out what's the best situation to get care for mom. Can we bring it into her house? Is there a facility that she would actually be better suited for? And those are the kind of things that this care coordination and these team of professionals will do for you. And when you have a reimbursement plan, which is what most long-term care insurance plans are, what the reimbursement does is it provides you an audit trail on how your money is being spent. So when those receipts are sent to the insurance company can verify that they're for actual long-term care services. They're paying for the facility. They're paying for your physical therapy. They're paying for your medication management. Whatever it is, they're going to see that, and it's going to be earmarked down. Now, if we're in a different situation, if you're looking at a cash indemnity program, for instance, and there are several carriers out there now, there's three of them that just give you your full cashly benefit, well, we're kind of back into the same spot. You have the money to pay for care, but technically they're just depositing the money in your checking account. They're not requiring receipts, and there's no audit trail on that. So now we're back into that same place of like, well, those kind of, people that have the cash indemnity plans, if they don't have people around them that they trust and they know, they are ripe for financial abuse too, because that money's just coming into the checking account. So be aware of that. But my point is, proper planning is crucial to protecting your estate, but also to make sure that your wishes are fulfilled, especially when you're incapacitated. Talking about this is important, but actually taking the steps, putting the plans in place. And it's very hard for people. They just assume that their kids are going to do the right thing. They don't really want to talk about it. Like, number one, I do not want to be here. I do not want to go be put in a nursing home. I want to age in place. If I'm incapacitated, this is where I want to go. If I need to be at home, this is how I want you to bring in that help. I mean, nobody wants to like talk about those things, but you really should. And the thing is, today's long-term care insurance plans provide you the assets. It's just a better way to self-insure, basically, because what it does is it gives you all the team of professionals, it gives you leverage, it gives you the tax advantages, and it's the most efficient way to pay for an extended care journey by providing that tax-free leverage to pay for that care. And it brings, like I said, think about when I go back to these clients, if I've got a $10,000 a month benefit that's coming in for long-term care insurance, what's going to happen? Well, that money is used to pay for long-term care insurance. It's not used to go out and pay for cars. So there doesn't do any good for your family to try to save that and say, well, if we move them across town to the halfway house, we can get that for $38.50 a month instead of paying $10,000 a month for the beautiful, two-bedroom assisted living apartment with the cafeteria and the meeting areas and all those things that some of these nice places have, right? And the resources and the people there to help you. So there's no advantage to doing that if you have a long-term care plan. And that's what I'm saying is like, now we have a plan that's designed to provide that care and make sure that your wishes come true. And one of the best things you can do is really start thinking about that and talking about things like that with your family. Otherwise, I hope this doesn't happen to me, but if it does, this is what I would like to see happen. This is how I would like to pay for this. This is what we're doing. If I have long-term care insurance, here's the insurance. Here's how you get that turned on. This will provide between that and my Social Security. I have X amount of money to pay for the care. This is what I want. These are my wishes. And if you have that conversation up front and you know, versus usually what happens is mom holds out to the very end, and then the kids have to find a place for mom, and they end up just trying to stick her someplace. And if she doesn't have long-term care insurance, well, guess what? It's like staying in a hotel. We got the Motel 6. Well, that's $100 a night, or you got the Ritz-Carlton, which is $400 a night. Which one do you want? Well, I think mom's fine with the $100 a night one, right? You're self-funding. You don't know how long that money's going to last. And again, you're spending money that you're looking at differently when you're standing in line to inherit some of that money. I'm looking at my clock here. I need to take a quick break for the news. But up next is our client of the week. And this week, I will introduce you to Jacob and Margo and explain how we converted retirement accounts that Margo inherited into long-term care insurance plan that will provide them major estate protection and guarantee a lifetime of long-term care benefits to provide quality care. I'll explain how we did it when we get back.
Avoid the mistake of paying unnecessary taxes, guarantee the quality of your care, and preserve your legacy and wealth by setting up your own tax-free long-term care plan. Learn more by attending Brian's free live webinar class. Sign up now at 525longtermcare.com. Staying in control of your care options is a better alternative than letting the government decide for you. Welcome back to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, certified long-term care planning specialist with 525 Advisors.
All right, and we are back. And if you just join us, it's the bottom of the hour. It's time for our client of the week. Again, the client of the week is, I go through the different clients, and they're all so different to me because we really spend a lot of time with our clients just finding about their personal situation, where their money is, what's important to them. And the idea of the client of the week is to show you, number one, how we designed a plan, and number two, how we funded it. Because I always look at that as two steps. How do we get meaningful benefit put in place for you? And what's the most efficient or the best way to fund that plan? Because that's what I say, these asset-based plans especially, we are all self-insuring. If we don't have long-term care insurance, we're all self-insuring, which means all of our assets are at risk. With an asset-based plan, really what we're doing is we're saying we're going to reposition some of our assets. We're going to get all these other great benefits of the insurance, the leverage, the team of professionals, but we're now going to get money back if we don't use it. So we're just kind of moving money from one pocket to the other. We're not paying premiums that we're going to walk away from. So that's part of the equation, but also how do we fund these plans? And so that's really what the client of the week is. And this week I have Jacob, who is 60. Margo is 61. They're both retired. They came to us looking for a plan after Margo's mother passed away. They have four children of their own. And they have seven grandchildren, and they like to see them on a regular basis, and they don't want to be a burden on their family. And their number one concern by far, was quality of care. Margo's mother was in long-term care situation for nearly 5 years. She had long-term care insurance, which allowed her the flexibility that she started at home. So this is very similar to what my grandma did, started at home, and then moved to a very nice assisted living facility where she finished up the last years of her life. And Margo saw the advantage of this. She said, you know, my mom, it was a good quality of life those last years. And that's what I always say. Long-term care insurance helps us make sure that our last years are not our worst years. Because what happens, even if we have money, we're trying to pinch money, we're trying to save money, we're trying to get other people to do things that they maybe not be qualified at, you know, and kids and family. So Margo saw all that. So she was very impressed with how the long-term care insurance worked. They wanted to protect their assets. They wanted to protect their estate. Jacob loved the idea of having a tax-efficient way to pay for a plan. He was kind of a numbers guy. They did not want to be a burden on their kids or their grandkids. They said, look, all of our kids are busy, and they've got kids, and we've got young grandkids. And she goes, I don't want, you know, something, a change in our life to disrupt their lives. And they really wanted access to coordination for care. And this was something that is very key. Again, Margo's looking at it saying, you know, we started off when we turned on mom's long-term care insurance. She understood exactly what I was talking about when you got that team of professionals. Because what happens, you get a plan of care from the doctor, you get some care coordinators talking, and then you get some case managers, and they all work together and they figure out how to get you the care. And if it's at home, this is what we're going to do. We're going to provide in-home service. And then when it comes time to move, maybe your care needs have escalated, then, hey, let's go look at assisted living facilities and find the right one for you, whether it's a physical impairment or a cognitive impairment. There might be some places that are better than others. So Margo saw all of that. Now, when we sat down, what we found out about Margo and Jacob, number one, they ran their own business for over 30 years. They were planning on, you know, building a legacy business for their family, but none of their kids expressed any interest at all in the business. And so instead, they recently sold the business through a structured deal that will provide them some upfront money and also some ongoing income over the years ahead. They have retirement accounts. They have a large amount of cash that's just sitting on the sideline from the recent sale of the business. They own their home. They have a second home that they use on a regular basis with their family. They have a piece of commercial property that generates income. Margot just inherited an IRA from her mother when her mother passed away. They both plan on holding off on Social Security until they're age 70. They don't need the income right now, and they just want to get that 8% increase every year. They're both in good shape physically. Not perfect, you know, some blood pressure medication, some cholesterol medication, but nothing to prevent them from getting long-term care insurance. And they're both still very active. And, you know, they travel quite a bit. They have a second home. Their second home is actually in another state. So they go back and forth to that and, you know, do it for longer periods of time. And so that's just kind of what we found out about them when we sat down and started kind of going over their situation. Now, what they wanted from a plan, they would like to reposition some of their assets and just get a long-term care plan paid up front, just a defined source of income coming in to pay for that care. They have plenty of money now. In fact, this is one of the you'll notice on these client of the weeks, this is not a need-based product. I tell people that. You do not need long-term care insurance. These people have plenty of money. They are not going to run out of money. Their estate's not going to go broke if they end up in a long-term care situation. What they want, though, is the most efficient way to pay for that care, and they want to be able to protect their estate so they can do some estate planning. So they would like the money to go back to the estate if they don't use it for long-term care. They want lifetime benefits. So again, they want catastrophic coverage, meaning that they don't want to try to guess how much long-term care is enough. They're saying, we just would love to get the lifetime benefit plan because they've heard us talking about those. They want coverage if they move, which again, doesn't matter where you buy your plan. If you're in the United States, doesn't matter what state you buy it in, it will work in all 50 states. And we had a client that was up here that just recently had to move to Nevada. They needed to be in a warmer climate for their illness. And so your insurance just follows you. It goes with you. So that's not a problem. But that was something that they wanted. And Margot really liked the idea of the claim support. She said, you know, I don't want to do the paperwork and the hassle. And she was saying, like, she watched her mom in the assisted living facility. And Margot said, I didn't have to do anything. The assisted living facility just managed it all. The money from the insurance company went to the assisted living facility. The assisted living facility took care of all the paperwork and the bills and all that stuff. And they just didn't have to do anything. Her mom just got the care. And so Margot really liked the idea of that. So it got down to brass tacks. So what are we going to do for them? Well, number one, we're going to look at an asset-based plan because, again, those are the plans that are going to pay the estate back if you don't use them. And it also allows them the different ways to fund their plan. Single lump sum. They can pay over time. They can do whatever they want. Now, Jacob and Margot contacted us because they had heard about some of these different options. They were planning on self-insuring. That was just the reality of it. But they did not like, you know, and the reason why is, quite frankly, they just didn't like the traditional plans. Margot's mother had a traditional plan where you just pay premiums until you go on claim. The problem is, you know, if you go out and you look at a traditional plan today compared to 20 years ago, the pricing is a lot more expensive for the same amount of coverage. And also, remember, those rates are not guaranteed. There's no stopgap. There used to be some 10 pays and some 20 pays. We've got two companies today that will offer you a 10 pay. But they're so pricey that you can just do an asset-based plan. So we don't see a lot of traction there either unless it's a C corporation. So Jacob and Margot were under the impression that we're just going to have to self-insure because they didn't want to do a traditional pay-as-you-go plan over time. Then they started hearing about these asset-based plans and can turn them back. That's what got them into looking at it. So that's really what they wanted. So that's what we did. We looked at the asset-based plans. We started looking at different funding options. They were willing to just reposition some of their cash savings into a plan because they had just sold the business. They were sitting on that money. They had income lined up. They were going to have future income from the sale of the business. They still had Social Security to look at. But here's what just caught my eye right out of the gate. Margot had just received an IRA. She had just got these funds given to her when her mom passed away. Now, they don't need this money. They weren't counting on this. And so this was just kind of extra bonus money. But remember, going back to what happened with the Secure Act, now that Margot has an inherited IRA money, remember, that is money that has never been taxed. The new rules say that when you inherit an IRA, you have to pull all of that money out within 10 years, claim it as income, and pay tax on it. Okay? So that kind of puts them in a situation right now. They cannot spread it out over time. So what I was pointing out to them and saying, look, this is where we want to start. One of our most popular funding options is using a lump sum out of retirement accounts because we can spread the taxes out over 10 years. What does the Secure Act say? It says you have to take an inherited IRA and pull the money out over 10 years. So 10 and 10, right? It's perfect. We can take an inherited IRA for somebody today. We can buy a long-term care insurance plan in a single lump sum, and we will show distributions out over 10 years. So you don't have to show all that money coming out year one. You get to spread out that tax hit over 10 years, and it meets those required minimum distributions. It meets the SECURE Act rules. You get all that money out in 10 years. And really what it does is it's such a great way, because what we're doing is that you got to realize so Jacob and Margo, they do not have to touch their existing retirement accounts until they're age 73, and they're 60 and 61. And they're not taking Social Security right now. So we're kind of in a good timing window. So they've got to pull out this inherited IRA money within 10 years. Well, this is going to fit right in there. It's going to keep their taxes, you know, smaller, because if they were having to pull that money out, say, after they were already pulling out RMD, let's say they were 70 when they inherited this money, well, they'd have to pull that money out in 10 years. They would also have to take required minimum distributions for their own retirement accounts, and they would be getting Social Security. So they were really just kind of in a good sweet spot, and this is what I wanted to point out to them. So basically, we can take that inherited IRA, we can deposit with the insurance company, we can distribute it out over 10 years, which spreads out the taxes due over the 10 years, and it meets the new requirements under the SECURE Act. So that's exactly what we did for Jacob and Margo, and I will tell any of you guys, if you are inheriting an IRA, you know it's coming this year, next year, whatever it is, this is a great way to just take that money, reposition it, get yourself some long-term care insurance, protect your estate, and you're going to get all that money back tax-free one way or the other now. And remember, that's what Ed Slott talks about. IRA money is always taxable. When you pull that out, you got to count it as income. But what we're going to do after these 10 years, we will have paid all the taxes on that inherited IRA, but any future dollars that come back from this account now will be tax-free because we paid the tax on. It's either going to be a tax-free long-term care benefit, or it's going to be a tax-free death benefit that goes back to their estate. So that's really how it's going to work. So here's what we did for them. They had $426,000 in the inherited IRA. So we're just going to take that entire IRA amount, the $426,000, and deposit with the insurance company. What that does for them is it gives Jacob and Margo each $16,594 a month of tax-free long-term care benefit for an unlimited amount of time. So think about what they've got here. They've got over $33,000 a month combined if they were both in a long-term care situation. They can each pull out $16,594 for as long as they need it, whether that's 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, it doesn't matter. It's a true unlimited lifetime benefit. If they never use their long-term care insurance, $553,000 is paid back to their estate tax-free. Now, remember, they inherited $426,000. That money's got to be, you got to pay the tax on that. You got to pay it at your income rates. But after those 10 years, all the taxes have been paid. We fully distributed that IRA money. Now it's in this long-term care plan, which has a tax-free benefit of either long-term care insurance money or a tax-free death benefit that's going to come back to the estate. If they use less than $553,000, the difference is paid back to the estate tax-free as well, too. So one of them goes on claim, uses $100,000, their estate's still going to inherit, you know, $453,000. If they never use it, the state gets the full $553,000 paid tax-free, even though they only put $426,000 into the plan. So they also get caregiver training benefits of about $33,000. They get medical equipment and home improvement. Most people want to stay at home, but sometimes we need to do grab handles, a wheelchair ramp. We need an adjustable bed, an intravenous pump, whatever it is. $33,000 you can spend on that as well, too. Coverage in all 50 states. It's got a zero-day elimination period, meaning that when you go on claim, the benefits will start paying and covering you from day one. You do not have to wait 90 days, which is standard on traditional. 90 to 100 days is generally what you see. These guys have a zero-day waiting period for home and community care. They have an assigned claim support representative. That means there's going to be one person at the insurance company that you're going to contact if you have any questions about your claims, about your care coordination, anything like that. You've got an assigned person there. The $426,000, again, is distributed out over 10 years, and so they do not have to claim that money this year and pay tax on it. They're going to actually get $53,000, a 1099-R every year for $53,000. So that adds up to $530,000 after 10 years, But it's because that 426 is still earning interest when it's in the insurance company, because technically they're putting it into, just think of it as a savings account in the background that's earning a guaranteed rate. So it's really buying them $530,000 of long-term care insurance over those 10 years. So that's what makes this plan so popular. Put 426 in, spread those taxes out over 10 years, guaranteed to get 553 back. Now, and again, it meets the Secure Act requirements. And so Margo doesn't have to do anything. She doesn't have to pull out any money or doesn't have to worry about it. She's going to meet the new tax laws and the requirements. Now, let's just pause for a second here and think about what this really does for them. They've got a very massive estate. They could self-insure, but now they have a dedicated source. When we add it up between their Social Security and their long-term care, they're going to have pretty close to $20,000 a month of lifetime guaranteed income. That's just the way you can look at it, right? So what this does for them is it takes IRA money that they got to pull out and pay taxes on it, and it converts it into tax-free long-term care benefits, and it guarantees to pay the estate back more money than they put in. It provides them with a dedicated stream of income to pay for that care. They don't have to worry about which assets they're using. They don't have to worry about who's going to be their trustee to make sure that they trust that person to write the checks and make sure that they're in the nice quality place. It allows them to set up a trust and move assets into that trust. And what I mean by this, folks, think about the estate planning. What's the unknown? The unknown is, how much money am I going to need in the future, right? I can budget. Here's my property taxes. Here's this. Add inflation. Here's groceries. Add inflation. You can do a budget that way, but the unknown is the long-term care event. Am I diagnosed with Alzheimer's when I'm 82? How long am I going to live in that situation? 6 years, 8 years, 2 years? Well, how much is memory care going to cost at that point? Is it $10,000 a month? Is it $20,000 a month? So what happens is, with people that are trying to do estate planning, they want to move assets tax efficiently into trust. They want to give them to kids and grandkids. Well, they tend to hang on to them because they don't know what they're going to need. Now they know they have a lifetime stream of long-term care. They can also add in their Social Security and know that those are guaranteed amounts of income should they end up in a care situation. So that's just a fantastic way to really look at the whole picture and then be able to say, okay, I feel comfortable moving these assets over to here, or setting up this trust, or I want to set up a college fund, whatever it is for the kids. And it keeps the future long-term care situations from becoming a burden on their family or the siblings. Again, four kids. Well, I don't think mom and dad need to be in that nice of place. Let's put them over here. That's off the table now, right? They have a long-term care plan that's going to pay for care for a lifetime. So just a really great plan. And again, if you inherit an IRA, you've got to pull that money out over 10 years now. This is a great way to do it, because what you're doing is you're just taking that IRA, you're repositioning it into another asset that is always yours, and now you've got lifetime long-term care benefits. I'm going to squeeze in my final break, but stick around. I got a little bit more. We'll be right back.
New asset-based programs protect your savings and your family, and even pay you back if you never use them. Make sure your care is funded and managed in a time of need. Learn more and sign up for one of Brian's free live webinar classes at 525longtermcare.com.
Finding a secure investment in this financially volatile time seems tough, but crazy financial times also create smart opportunities. One of these smart opportunities is long-term care insurance from 525 Advisors. If you repositioned some of your savings and got three times your investment in long-term care coverage tax-free and got all your money back if you never used it, wouldn't you at least want to learn more about it? Well, you can. Join my friends from 525 Advisors for their next free long-term care planning live webinar. Go to 525longtermcare.com and sign up. You'll learn about smart ways to self-insure, including new plans with guaranteed leverage that turn every dollar into $3 of long-term care coverage tax-free, with every dollar back if you never use it. Don't wait until you're older to get long-term care coverage. Look into this opportunity now from 525 Advisors, one that gives you a secure return. Go to 525longtermcare.com and sign up for the next free live webinar. That's 525longtermcare.com.
Hi, this is Brian Ott with 525 Advisors. Over the years, I've had the opportunity to protect many people and their families with long-term care planning. However, I've also seen how long-term care events devastate families and turn the last years for the family into their worst years. Many people believe the downside from a long-term care situation is limited to financial loss. Yet often, it's the emotional damage that lingers and hurts the family members the most. Watching a loved one go through their savings is one thing, but watching a loved one lose their dignity is far worse.
Long-term care insurance provides a dedicated source of funds to help pay for your care when you need it. But more importantly, it provides you with a team of trained professionals that will help you and your family manage your care. Learn how you can stay in control of your care options, maintain your dignity, and protect the people you care about most by attending one of our upcoming live webinars. Sign up today at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
This is Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. Listen and learn information from a certified long-term care planning specialist. You can email your questions to radio at 525advisors.com.
Whew, okay, I'm back. I just got to go hit the oxygen after I do these client of the weeks. I just get so excited about them. And to me, it's like kind of like building or something, a house. You know, you're designing this plan. You're figuring out the best way to fund it. You're looking at all these other different options. And, you know, we talked about the other thing they talked about, too, is really funny. A lot of people, this was just a great way to use that inherited IRA. Now, Margo and Jacob are still really young. And so what I told them, instead of like looking at trying to figure out the exact amount of coverage, what we did is we just worked backwards with the deposit amount. We're going to deposit this amount in. We're going to guarantee X amount back. So you're putting $420 in. You're going to get $550 back if you don't use it. But you have lifetime long-term care. And, you know, 10 years down the road, when they're 70s, in their early 70s, we can still come back in and put a savings-based plan behind that if they want some additional coverage. And so that's why I told them, just hang on to your cash for now. $16,500 a month right now is a very meaningful benefit. 10 years down the road, we'll look at that. We'll see where things are. We'll see what costs are doing. If you feel you want a little bit more coverage, we would add a second plan, savings-based plan. Because, again, that's the nice thing about these asset-based plans. I can reposition some assets. I can have two plans. If I never use that second plan, I don't lose a dime. I'm going to get all that money back plus some interest. Just a really great way. So, just, again, lots of different ways we can set these asset-based plans up. Now, again, we've got classes coming up this month as well, too, on the 12th and the 24th. We go over what long-term care is, what it pays for, how you trigger a plan, how those plans actually pay you, explain the difference in reimbursement and cash indemnity. You learn about asset-based plans, traditional plans. Our asset-based plans, we really have three different versions, our savings, our cash indemnity, and our lifetime benefit plans. We're going to go over all those, and we're going to compare self-insuring to long-term care insurance. And again, that's really what these classes are for, is to educate you to say, hey, wait a second. You know, I always say that financial advice needs to fit on a bumper sticker for most people. Like, reverse mortgages are bad, right? You can just say that, and then everybody walks around thinking, oh, reverse mortgages are bad. Well, it turns out reverse mortgages actually can be a very powerful tool. Same with life insurance, you know, or whatever it is. And so the whole idea with us is, what we're trying to do is start with some education and start this process through that live webinar, get you thinking about it. Maybe you don't understand about everything about long-term care. Now you're going to find out about these new programs, which I will just tell you, matter-of-factly, the vast majority of financial advisors still don't understand how they work. They don't understand the tax advantages. They don't understand the leverage. And that's really what this is all about. For the people that are out there right now and you do not have long-term care insurance, you're self-insuring. Well, if you have enough money to self-insure, you say, well, whatever my number is, I've got $1 million of cash in the bank, so I'm fine. I'm just going to use that money to pay for long-term care. Well, all asset-based plans do is provide you a better way to self-insure. We're going to take some of that savings and we're going to reposition that. It's still your money. It's still coming back to you. A lot of our plans, we have plans that you can go cancel your plan in, you know, 6 days, 6 months, 3 years, it doesn't matter, and get guaranteed to get at least 100% of your money back that you put in. So you have to really understand what we're doing with these asset-based plans. We're taking something you already have, we're pulling it out of one pocket, we're putting a bunch of features and benefits on it, and we're sticking it right back in the other pocket. And those features and benefits, number one, it's a dedicated source of tax-free money to pay for care. Remember, if I've got $5 million in an IRA and I start taking out $10,000 a month extra to pay for my long-term care services, well, I got to pay tax on that. So now I'm netting out maybe $6,500. Well, guess what? That's pushing up your adjusted gross income, which pushes up your costs of Medicare. And so it starts that snowball effect. And if you make X amount of money, $250,000, well, now you're in the special Obamacare tax, which you got to pay another 3.8% capital gains tax if you sell a stock. Long-term care avoids all that because it's not income. It's not taxable income. It's a tax-free stream of income. You also get the leverage. Remember, just think about our clients of the week. They're putting $400,000 in, but they're guaranteed to get $550 back, but they could pull $5 million out of that policy. They have unlimited lifetime long-term care at $32,000, $33,000 a month if they're both on claim. I mean, do the math. A couple of years of that, they're $600,000. You know, 4 years, 5 years on an average claim, it's like, wow, you're talking over $1 million. And so that's that leverage that you get guaranteed automatically. And it also is a better way to protect your other assets because, remember, without long-term care insurance, everything's at risk, right? All of your assets. You're going to blow through your cash savings first. Then you're going to start going through your retirement accounts. And then what? Oh, I got to sell my second home. I got to sell my commercial property, whatever it is. There is no stopgap. And so the vast majority, everybody likes to look at averages and statistics. And I say, yeah, that's fine. But you know what? 99.97% chance our house isn't going to burn down. But if it does, you don't care what the statistics are. You're like, dang, my house burned down. And that's why we have insurance. Long-term care does the same thing. Are we going to end up on claim for 14 years? Hopefully not. Could we? Absolutely. The longest claims with almost all the insurance companies are 12, 14, 15. There's one that's 22 years going, still active. So just be aware that those kind of things can happen. And that's why we have insurance, is because we get that guaranteed leverage. And it just also is going to help you guarantee a quality level of care. Again, remember, whose money is your money? Well, when you're in a long-term care situation, you're incapacitated, your money might be viewed a little bit differently than the way you're viewing it right now. Not always, but the vast majority, like I say, a lot of elder abuse, there are some people out there that will spend mom and dad's money exactly the way they want it to, but it's just easier if I have a dedicated plan and I've talked that through and I have these options. So again, you've earned another week with us. Sign up for our webinars. Again, coming up pretty quick here on the 12th is our first one. That's a Saturday, 525longtermcare.com. Again, 525longtermcare.com. I'll be back next week with another new show. Thanks so much.
You've been listening to Long Term Care Radio with certified long term care planning specialist Brian Ott. You can download and subscribe to the podcast at 525longtermcare.com and learn about all the long term care planning options available. If you have questions for Brian or would like information about any of his upcoming long term care webinars, go to 525longtermcare.com. Be sure to join us next weekend for another edition of Long Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. For information, show schedules, and podcasts, go to 525longtermcare.com.
Do you know that 7 out of 10 people past the age of 65 need at some point some sort of long-term care? That's 70%. Now, many of us think it could never happen to us or somebody else is going to be there to take care of us, but the facts are clear. Most of us will need to pay for help in the future. And not only is that help expensive, but it puts a burden on family members as well. If you've never looked at long-term care insurance because you didn't know where to start, start today with 525 Advisors. Recent changes to the Pension Protection Act have made new programs more advantageous than ever. How would you like to get your premiums back if you never use your long-term care insurance? Well, you can. How would you like to leverage some of your savings for increased coverage using tax-free dollars? Now you can. 525 Advisors are the local long-term care experts. Protect yourself and your family members from the high cost of extended health care. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
Sign up for the next free long-term care live webinar with Brian Ott. Go to 525longtermcare.com.